And welcome back, my friends. Today, I'm going to share with you a little bit about who Marcy Youngster is, who I am, what I've done, how I did it, why I did it, and where am I going next. So first of all, I'd like to share who I am. In my previous video, I shared with you lots of compelling, raw, vulnerable, and inspirational details about my beautiful mother, who basically formed me into becoming much of who I am today. But today, I'd like to share with you a little bit more about me, myself, and I, a little bit more personal details about what makes me tick and why I do what I do. And perhaps, and hopefully, you will draw some inspiration and some motivation to look into your own heart and life and to examine different pieces to help you keep navigating this wonderful journey we call life. So I've just made a few bullet points just to keep me on track. Who am I? Well, actually, I am a cradle Catholic. I was baptized when I was just 27 days old in the beautiful baptismal font in the famous St. Louis Cathedral. I have a photo of this event, and it brings me to tears whenever I see it. My beautiful godmother, Aunt Virginia, holds me, and my beautiful godfather, who's not visible in the picture, is holding the lit blessed candle, symbol of the light of faith that is being given to me as the waters of baptism were poured over my little head three times with the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," by then Father McNicholas, who then later on became a bishop. So this specific event is recorded in my mother's photo album. She noted the different sacraments we received, and I absolutely love this photograph. I have it on my iPhone, and I plan to frame it. So I've been a cradle Catholic since I was 27 days old, and thanks be to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've never walked away from my baptism. I'm also on the Myers-Briggs personality typing, the type called ENFP, which stands for extroverted, intuitive, feeling, and perceiving. But the extroversion part is a little bit misleading because while I am an extrovert, I'm actually the least extroverted kind of extrovert. So I actually do have quite a bit of introversion, I think. On a later episode, I would love to go into more detail about the different personality types, because in my own life experience, it has helped me so much to understand myself, to understand other people, why they say and do and operate the way they do. It's helped me not to take offense, because actually all of us have the ability to rub each other the wrong way. We're actually designed that way. I think God intends us to polish each other, to polish the rough edges off each other. Nonetheless, it's a painful process if you don't understand why it's happening. So when I sadly had to go through a divorce and I was directed to go to a local community college to help me cope and learn new strategies and skills, I was instructed to take the Myers-Briggs test as well as another test called the Strong test. I personally love personality tests because they do help me to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I dare say many of you really do not know yourselves interiorly and innately and as completely as it would be really great for you to know, because what you might discover are strengths as well as weaknesses that you can then get to work on. I'm also in the religious gifts that are detailed in one of the Gospels. I believe I also have the gifting of the exhorter. Again, I'll go into that in more detail at another time. I'm intuitive. I'm childlike. I love marketing. I am a catechist. I love to evangelize. I'm a businesswoman. I've had home-based businesses since I was 19 years old. And actually, since I was 10 years old, when I would buy candy at the store and save it until my siblings didn't have any left, and then I would mark it up, much to their annoyance, but also delight, because I learned early the concept of supply and demand and how to make a profit. So I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I'm an idea person. I'm a strategic thinker. And I love words. Hence, I'm doing this podcast. In the religious sphere, I'm a catechist, an apostle, and actually, I call myself a shepherdess. So those are some things to describe who I am. Now, a little bit about what I've done. In my earlier podcast, I shared that I had a very unconventional education. I was basically unschooled from the eighth grade on. Pretty much most of my education fell to my own attempts, my own initiatives. I was provided lots of resources. I wasn't stopped from doing anything. I just did not go to a regular high school, and I opted to not go to college for religious reasons. But nonetheless, I think I can safely say that in spite of going through a lot of adversity and heartache and suffering and disillusionment and self-doubt at times, I would say my life has been a success thus far. So what I've done, these are some of my accomplishments, just to give you an idea of who I am and why I'm doing this podcast. I was blessed with 6 children that I gave birth to in the course of 13 years. I was formerly married, my first marriage, to a very good man who sadly was very much afflicted with a disease or disorder, whatever you want to call it, of severe obsessive compulsive disorder. This sad affliction created a situation where my former husband was not able to work to support the family. And so it fell to me for a good part of the 18-year marriage to bring in income. Thankfully, I'm extremely creative and I love a challenge and I have great initiative. And I was not going to let the fact that he couldn't provide for us stop me from having children and not stop me from providing for them. And so I used my ENFP strengths, my creativity, my inspiration, my motivation, my determination, and my youth, actually, to throw myself into the world of home-based businesses to bring in income for our family. And so over the course of the years, I had different businesses. Initially, I started with my calligraphy business. I had learned some of the basic strokes of calligraphy as a second grader at Villa de Chêne in St. Louis, Missouri, but I'd never developed it much further. So as a teenager, I had gone forward and basically taught myself a lot of different calligraphy strokes. And subsequently, I was asked to teach calligraphy at a local hobby store in St. Louis, and then I developed my own business called Marvelous Script. I did a lot of freelance work for printers. I did lots and lots of weddings. Wedding invitations were addressed, and I did actually design some invitations. I did menus. I did lots of poems. I personalized photo albums, and I completed and filled in a lot of certificates. Actually, I did all of the calligraphy for Logan College of Chiropractic from 1985 until 2007. And I made a tidy little income doing that, just with a bottle of ink, paper, pen, and a light table. After I was married, initially, I started another business with French chocolates. I grew up in St. Louis in the Central West End, and there, a few blocks from our home, was the most amazing little French chocolate candy store. And it was owned at that time by 2 little old ladies. And these recipes allegedly stem from the 16th century, where some German brothers, Carl Bissinger was the name of the company, would make confections for royalty in Europe. So we grew up having these fine chocolates. They were on every Christmas table, every Thanksgiving table, and every Valentine's Day. We children knew that when we went to our dinner, there would be a beautiful heart-shaped box of chocolates that my dear grandmother would have purchased for us. This was a highlight of the year because these chocolates were very costly. Well, as a young adult, I decided I was going to try and copy those recipes. And in fact, I learned marketing, I created my own catalog, I created my own recipes, and I started to sell them. Some of my best customers actually were my family. I would invariably have pieces that didn't look perfect, and so I would sell them at a discount. And I can still remember with fondness my mother lining up first in line so that she could purchase my delectable confections. I actually created little credit cards for each one because it got a little tiresome taking 50 cents and 35 cents and 75 cents so frequently from my family members. So I had a baby. My first child was named Lewis, and I created his birth announcement. I created a line of designs that were formed with the baby's first and middle names, and then I incorporated the vital statistics, the birth date, time, weight, and length into the design, and then I added the proud parents, and then a specialty soon developed whereby many of the baby's birth announcements had as the title, another sibling introducing this new little baby to the family. I created a whole line of these cards and studied the competition and ultimately paid for one-inch box ads in American Baby magazine. This took me onto the national scene, and this was before online marketing. This took me onto the national mail order scene for baby announcements, and for 10 years, I brought in a very nice income to our family to pay our bills. Because my former husband was unable to work at that time. And so he had come home and he actually assisted me in creating this business. So that business was called Baby Namograms. And for 10 years, it was what I did morning, noon, and night. And it was very fulfilling because I was able to be creative. I was able to call all of the shots, to design everything from start to finish. It had my stamp on it. From then on, I also had a whole line of religious note cards and stationery that I would sell to homeschoolers. I traveled to Virginia one year to the National Homeschool Conference and sold my creations to homeschoolers who had come there from all over the country. So in 19, but I got into the world of direct sales. I joined a company called Usborne Books, and for the next 18 years, I brought in a very nice income, relatively speaking, to our family. I started doing Usborne Books when I had four children, and I went on to have six children, so I actually developed this business while trying to homeschool, while having four children, and then giving birth to two more. In the course of that company, I was able to earn nine trips. I was featured on the back cover of the catalog two different times for receiving the top award. And I learned so very much. Again, I can talk more about this on another episode, but entrepreneurialism is in the fabric of my bones. I left Usborne Books at a certain point and went on to join other companies, skincare and health and wellness supplements, different companies. Each company that I joined, each major company that I joined where I applied myself, I was able to quickly advance through the ranks and earn iPads. I earned a Lexus car bonus in the second month in one of the companies, etc. I share all of these to prove to you that in spite of me not having a quote-unquote regular education and not going to college, that nonetheless, I have been able, by using my ingenuity, my creativity, my pluck and determination, to, in the course and in the path of many life challenges, to seize things as they come and run with them. And my children could probably tell you that watching me build these businesses was a form of inspiration to them. So let's see what else I want to share with you here. I'm also a life coach, a dream story coach. And another thing that I have done is I was able to obtain a church annulment. Sadly, after 18 years of marriage, I was put into a situation where I felt my only course of appropriate action was to get a divorce. I know as a Catholic, that is not the norm. That is not the ideal. But my home situation had reached such a climax of dysfunction and other things that I was counseled by a deacon of the church that this was really a very urgent necessity. Thankfully, the following year, I was able to obtain a church annulment from the Catholic Church, which meant that I was then morally free to date and remarry, which led me into the next phase of my life because my little brother kept telling me, "You're going on Catholic Match." And I kept saying, "Oh, no, I'm not." He said, "Oh, yes, you are." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." And he said, "Oh, yes, you are." Because he really wanted to see his sister taken care of. So finally, after the, you know, of course, the church annulment was granted, I went on Catholic Match. And due to the fact that I'm very creative, I'm an ENFP, I'm very insightful and intuitive and fun-loving and very childlike, I created what I would say was a pretty fascinating profile. And my sister's daughter took a very nice photograph of me. And on the 40th day on Catholic Match, I was so privileged, blessed, and honored to meet the man who would become my husband. And so for the last 16 years, we've been very happily married. He brought his four children to my six. His first wife, Sally, died in a car accident. And so for the last 16 years, Brett, my husband, and I have been blessed to be co-parenting 10 children between the two of us. So I've merged into a blended Catholic family. And in future episodes, I would love to share with you things that have worked, things that have not worked, things that I love and things that I regret. And I will tell you right here that one of my superpowers that has given me some success is the fact that I love to cook. The fact that I know how to be a very creative cook and I know how to make yummy, yummy foods. And that is a secret to some of my success is knowing how to make yummy candies and yummy desserts and yummy dishes, period. Just great big homemade meals has been a mainstay of our family. So that is basically, in a nutshell, some of the things I've done. Now, how did I do it? How did I get through a marriage married to a man profoundly afflicted with OCD? How did I get through a situation where he wasn't bringing in an income? On my previous podcast, I shared a very vulnerable fact that I basically have only a formal eighth grade education. Now, what I did do when I was 46, at the time when I felt forced to get a divorce, and I went to the local community college, they strongly encouraged me to go get my GED, which is a high school equivalency test. So I went to the college and I did not know algebra, so I started learning that. But that happened to be a year when gasoline was extremely expensive. And this community college was a fair distance from my house, so I stopped going. Well, one day I get a phone call from the director of the program, and she said, "Where are you? Why are you not here? You need to go get your GED. Come right away." And I explained about the cost of gasoline, and I didn't really have the time or the money to keep going there to learn algebra and other things. And she said, "Come take the test. You're ready." Well, I didn't think I was, but I did what she said, and I was very gleeful to discover that I had aced several of the five tests. What really makes me smile is that when I first approached the director of the program to get my GED, and she heard my age, This woman looked at me and said, "You know, lady, you've got nerve. You've got nerve to come in here at age 46 to get your high school diploma." And I said, "I know, I've lived my life with nerve, but it's what I want to do." So thankfully, I was able to get my GED. I never really needed it because I never went and got a formal job. But for my self-confidence, it was really a nice thing to have. So how did I get through all I've gotten through, given being married like that is not a fun thing to do, my friends? I got through it through my faith. I got through it through a lot of tears and a lot of prayers and a lot of, oh my goodness, how did I get myself into this situation? I provided for my family financially because I did have self-belief in my creativity. I did have pluck. I did have determination. And I was not about to let my children not have the means to have a life. And I was not about to not be able to have any more children. I knew it wouldn't be easy, but I was not willing to give up on my dream, which had always been to have at least 5 children. I didn't put a cap on how many children. I just knew I always wanted to have at least 5 because I had been 1 of 4 and I had always wanted a little sister. I never got the little sister. And so I said, when I get married someday, if I get married, I hope and want to have at least 5 children. So I learned as I went. I learned and went by the seat of my pants. I'm a very spontaneous, creative person, not very organized. And so I had to learn discipline. I had to learn lots and lots of things. I read, I studied ideas, I borrowed books, I took personality tests to try and figure out myself and why I did what I did. And I struggled to understand myself. Self-improvement became my biggest focus. I loved to listen to Jim Rohn and different motivational business gurus, and they were like the grandfather that I needed to guide me in how to navigate this world that I was feeling thrust into. Over the years, I finally got into fitness and health, and I learned how much better I could feel when I ate properly, exercised, walked, etc. So now, the next question, why I did what I did. Because life is a gift, my friends, and we must use our gifts and we must develop our gifts. God is going to ask us when we appear before Him, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? What skills did you develop? What talents did you use? Who did you help with the gifts I gave you? Remember, my friends, gifts are something you give to someone. And so when God gives you a gift, He expects you to give it away. So that's what I've spent my life trying to do. And I find it very fulfilling to create something from nothing. I find it very exciting to go from zero to hero, to use the cliche, to take something that doesn't exist, to imagine it, to envision it, to work at it, to create it, to make it become real, and to make it something that I am proud of and excited to put my name to. You see, I find meaning and purpose in everything I do. Even when I struggle, even when I'm sad, even when I'm lonely, I ask myself, what can I do with these feelings? And sometimes all I can do is package them up and give them to Jesus. Jesus, I feel miserable. I feel alone. I feel unworthy. I feel unaccomplished. I feel a lot of doubt. I feel ignored, etc. Sometimes all I can give God is my feelings of lack. But love of my children has been a mainstay in pushing me forward, in helping me to develop. I've learned so much from being their mother. I learned so much from having to be the mother to take care of them. And as they've gotten older, I've learned so much from watching them develop. They don't know it, but I watch them. And when they overcome things, when they develop themselves, when they go on to create amazing incomes, I'm inspired. My Irish heart compels me to believe in God and to believe that if He's given me this life and this time, that I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can, like a child, and I'm going to do all I can with whatever I'm faced with in the moment. I'm on a big life journey, as are you, and I intend to do as much as I can with what I've been given to turn it into something of value. So where am I going now? Well, currently, as you can tell, I'm working on this podcast, and I have books that I plan to write. I have a YouTube channel I want to create. I have a membership program I want to create. I am a life coach. I will be promoting coaching for women, and I, in the future, hope to hold workshops, seminars, and become a public speaker. So on that note, my friends, I am going to stop, and I will see you next time. Until next time, please pray for me as I pray for you, and God bless you. So, my friends, we've come to the end of today's broadcast. I invite you to subscribe and share the Catholic Whisperer podcast with all of your friends. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram as the Catholic Whisperer. Until next time, together, let us live our faith, love our faith, learn our faith, spread our faith, and be our faith. I'm Marcy Youngster. Until next time, God bless you and everyone you love.